Heavenly Father, God, it's good to be in your presence this afternoon. We've probably taken in a lot of information, been out in the sun quite a bit, Lord, but we're here before you with just a little bit of time. Lord, just, I feel like what I have to bring here is a couple loaves and fishes. Lord, so we ask that you'd multiply it. God, I know each one of us is coming into this topic, into this world from different places, and that's great. And Lord, I just pray you'd bless our conversation that we're going to have. But most of all, I pray that you would bless each family. Lord, each person who's sitting here represents 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8 teenagers who before long are going to be adults. God, and as they wrestle with technology, Lord, it could be a wonderful tool or it could sink their lives. God, we pray that their lives would not be wrecked by technology. And God, you've somehow appointed us to walk into that and to help them with that. So God, I just pray that you bless this time. God, I just present it to you in all humility and ask that you guide us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm guessing you're here today. I know there's some teenagers here today. That's cool. Your teenagers are probably in this place too. But most of you are probably here because you've got a teenager or two or three or some kids who are going to be teenagers soon. And you're probably, if you have that, I'm guessing you're probably engaged in some sort of battle over technology with your kids. Or you're looking down the road, you're like, I'm going to be engaged in some sort of battle of technology with my kids. Or you simply have kids and you're engaged in a battle with your kids, right? One of those things. So before I go anywhere else, like, I just want to sort of give like some disclaimers on this. The first one is that I am not an expert on technology at all, right? I am so behind the curve on things. I'm like really happy I got something uploaded to a website for this, right? So I'm no expert on technology. I'm certainly not an expert on teenagers, right? I have a couple teenagers, and none of my kids have passed out of the teen years, so I'm definitely not an expert on that. And so that would therefore mean I am not an expert on teens and technology, right? So, you know, it's like I feel like we've had some victories along the way, but I can't look back and say, well, you know, I've got 6 kids and I've raised them all and they've all won all the battles with technology. That's not the place I'm coming to you today. So I don't have expertise and I don't have all the answers and I don't have the methods. So if you were hoping, oh, I'm going to come to the seminar and hear this pastor talk about how he's had all the victory and he's got all the answers and he's going to help me figure this out. That's not okay. What you're going to get. Yeah, so by sorry. Yeah, sorry to the engineers out there, right? And so in my house, there are struggles and battles over technology. My wife is sitting here probably every week, right? I think it's probably every week we're battling technology. Even in this past week, right? We're having battles. And I don't, when I say battle, I don't mean in necessarily a negative way. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. And so because I'm not the expert and I'm not perfect, please just ask you, like, don't judge me on this. Don't come back and say, yeah, you said this and this and this, right? Or don't go out there and see one of my teenagers making a bad choice with technology this weekend at this camp and say, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, and maybe that's true, right? But again, that's not what, I'm not coming to you as like, I am the expert on this again. I'm also not going to sit here and give you this bombardment of statistics of how bad technology can be. Like, we all kind of know that stuff. I have a couple things, but we all are aware, right? I just want you guys to know I am with you. I am a fellow sojourner on this journey with kids and this all the stuff that's going on. And I just wanted to share with you some principles today, and you'll see in your handout it's there, some principles so that we can all kind of help like gird our hearts and minds for this battle, right, that we're in. And then at the end, my hope is we can even just have a discussion together because I go, man, I'm maybe a little selfish, I wanted to pull like some teen parents together and hear like what you're doing, because maybe I could pull some good things from that to put into practice in my life, right? So we just want to encourage and fortify one another. And what I think is true is that we need each other in this fight. Do you agree with that? Amen? We need each other? Yeah. Okay, so let me start with this. I'd just like to give a little quick poll, and this will connect later on. But how many people here drive a car? That's about 100%, right? Maybe there's a couple of you who don't. I won't single you or anything like that. Does anybody know adults who don't drive? Maybe a couple, right? But it's probably, what do you think the percentage of adults that drive a car? It's like close to 100%, right? 99-something percent in our country. Okay, all right. So how many people here have been in a serious car accident? Right? Okay, a few. How many people know somebody who's been in a serious car accident? Okay, right. So that happens, right? Does anybody know what percent of car trips end in a serious accident? It's probably pretty small, right? The statistic I could find is that less than 0.8% of individuals experience a serious car accident annually. So less than 1%. But that's not number of trips, right? You think of how many car trips you make in a year, and you're like, okay, but yet it can happen, right? And so we take all of that very seriously. Now, I'll come back to the connection driving in a minute. So you'll see on your handout, the first thing, one thesis statement. I have a thesis statement. I don't know if it's proven, but this is my thesis statement. It's this. We live in the most difficult place and time in history to parent a child. That's my thesis statement. And you could argue with me on that, and we could have a debate. We're not going to necessarily have that debate today. Regardless, it's incredibly difficult. If it's not the most difficult, it is incredibly difficult. And I will tell you why, and it's because of this. Technology. That's your next blank. Technology. So would you agree with me that this right here, this is my smartphone, would you agree that this is the second most powerful tool in the world ever invented? What do you think the first one is? No.
The brain.
No.
Computer.
No. The Bible. Come on, guys. Sharper than a double-edged sword. It's changed my life more than this ever will. Okay. Here we have it. It's powerful, right? You think about it, this provides instant access to virtually every piece of information on the planet. And it fits in my pocket, and you have yours, everybody probably has one, and fits in their pocket. And you can not only just get like pieces of information, you can get different versions of information, you can get different viewpoints on information, you can get different commentaries on all of that information. It's a crazy amount of information. It allows you, this device allows you to potentially communicate individually and personally with almost any other individual on the face of the planet. If you had the President of the United States number, you could call him on this device and speak to him. I bet he has a cell phone with a number, right? We don't know what it is. I don't know if you'd want to call him. That's another thing. I looked it up. 73% of the world's population, adult population, over 10 years old, that is, owns a smartphone. The world, right? And you go, okay, well, that's like the developing world, right? I think it's important, some of the things I've seen, right? I got to go to China a couple years ago. There's a lot of people in China. Every single one of them has one of these. And frankly, they use them more than we do. They pay for everything. There's no cash, there's no credit cards in most of China. It's this. That's what you pay with. There's a gentleman in my church who's gone to Turkey to reach an unreached people group, and they're nomadic goat herders. I didn't know such thing exists. They exist in Turkey, and they start in the lowlands in the whatever season, and then they go up the hill into the mountains, probably in the warm season, right? And they're sleeping. He went to go like try to reach them, and they're sleeping on dirt, under tents, herding goats. And those guys have smartphones. They've never heard about Jesus, but they have a smartphone, right? And I go, that is incredible. You could call a nomadic goat herder in Turkey on your phone if you had their number, right? And you think about this, it has radically altered every aspect of our life in a relatively short amount of time. Like, think about all of those things. Commerce, totally different. Politics, totally different. Travel, education, religion, entertainment, on and on. Right here in this little thing that you can, you know, fit in your pocket. It's crazy. Nothing like this has ever existed. Can you imagine what the great thinkers of the Enlightenment would have done with this power? It blows my mind when I think of it. It kind of gives me chills. On the other hand, this thing, I'm holding in my hand the most powerful tool in the world. It is also the most dangerous tool in the world ever invented. And I don't need to go into all of the stuff, all of the bad things. You guys know all of that. One of my jobs, I'm an architect, and a number of years ago, I participated in a project that was the FBI field office in Denver. As we're touring through this building as it was getting built, and there was this weird sort of rectangle room inside in the middle of the building. We were like, what is this awful room? They were like, this is the Child Pornography Task Force room. We were like, that sounds terrible. What's that? Like, people basically sit at computers and look at computers and try to find the bad stuff. And I was like, that is awful. And they moved into the building, and like 6 months later, we were talking to somebody about that, and they were like, oh yeah, they had to remodel that. That room wasn't big enough. That's how bad this stuff was, right? And that's just the Denver field office. So there's all this horrible stuff out there that you have access to through this thing. So we have the most powerful yet the most dangerous tool ever created in our pockets. It is relatively inexpensive to own and operate. It is also unequivocally essential for the life and the world that we live in. I don't think you can do that. We almost now have to intentionally choose non-digital things, right? I want to read a book. Well, I actually have to choose to do a book instead of this. This is actually probably way more convenient because it like tracks things and I can highlight things and there's no late fee and, you know, all those kind of things, right? Everything, we have to intentionally choose non-digital things. And here's the kicker when it comes to parenting. No one has ever raised kids with this. Nobody's ever raised kids before, right? We have no models for raising kids with this. None. Nothing. We don't even have our own experiences mostly, right? I did not have a smartphone until, I don't know, a decade ago maybe, a dozen years ago. I certainly didn't have one when I was a teenager, right? Did anybody here own, non-teenagers, own a smartphone as a teenager? Anybody? Not teenagers? Or so anyone under the age of 25 own a smartphone as a teenager? Nobody. Right? So we can't draw on our own experiences, so we certainly can't go to our parents to ask them, how did you do it? I have a wonderful set of parents who are fantastic, but if I went to them and said, explain to me how I can raise my kids with smart technology, they'd be like, I don't know. They would have no practical experience. So back to my thesis, what has ever compared to that in the history of the world? Stone tablets? Yeah, like the automobile. No, nothing. Nothing like this has ever existed. I certainly can't think of anything. And you go, well, that's actually pretty cool. If you look at that on the bright side, you go, this is really amazing. What a tool, what an opportunity, what a time to be alive. And yet we also know this, forces of evil are at work that overtly want to destroy goodness in the world, and they want to destroy God's people, including your kids and you. And that's terrifying because there's an avenue right in your pocket and right in their pocket. So I say all of that, and I know that it's scary, but I want to encourage you with this. If you are wrestling with technology and your teenagers, of course you are. Of course you are. Like, nothing like this has ever existed. Right? If you are wrestling with them, you are right where you should be. If you are engaged in the fight, you are doing the right thing. And I want to encourage you before we do anything else. I am encouraging you that is a good place to be. And if you're not, well, today is a good day to get engaged in that fight with your kids. Amen? Yeah. All right. So my encouragement today, I have my one thesis. Now I have my two verses. And we know all these verses. Reference of the first one, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Second verse, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now that first verse, train up a child the way they should go, right? I want to sort of start by saying I recognize that so many of us, me included, read that verse and we get real focused on the, when he is old, he will not depart from it. We get focused on these results, right? I want my kids to not depart from God's path when they're older. And I'm guessing if you're here, you want that too. You want them to not depart from that path. And that's a good place to be. And we can look around and we can look at other people's kids and we can even look at our own kids and we can get really pessimistic and we can be like, wait, this verse says train them up and when they're old, they won't depart from it. And yet I see kids departing from it. What's the deal? It doesn't always work how I want it to work. Well, what would God say to that? What would God say? Well, God has an answer to that, right? It's interesting. We have Proverbs, which is part of the wisdom literature in the Bible, and there's other books that are also part of the wisdom literature. And one of those, the book of Job, God himself speaks forth to Job, and he says this to the guy who's questioning him. He says in chapter 40, verse 2, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him, right? So we have to remember this about Proverbs. Generally speaking, Proverbs are sayings of wisdom. They're not necessarily going to be promises of outcome, right? We have to go read Ecclesiastes and Job to see a more complete picture of how things work in God's economy and understand that it's not, I do this, I get this. Right? If it was that simple and the world worked that way and there wasn't an enemy who was out to stop us, okay, but there's more to it than that. We have to understand that being wise and obeying God does not necessarily equate to perfect or desirable outcomes. I say that because as we're engaged in the fight with technology, you may not get perfect and desirable outcomes. And so the issue when we come back to this verse is, am I in faith? This verse gives you a command, that's for sure. What is the command? Train up a child. You train up your child in the way he or she should go. It's up to you. So what's God going to be pleased with? The results? That's his business. He's going to be pleased with you. And are you engaged in this or not, right? And then I have that second verse in there, do not exasperate. So we think about this, in the way he should go, do not exasperate, right? And so we think about technology and we go, well, this has never existed in the history of the planet. Well, again, the power of this is trumped by the power of the Bible, in my estimation. And so if God said there's a way to go, do you suppose there's a way to go as it pertains to technology? I think so. And then do you also suppose there's a way to exasperate your kid when it comes to technology? Yeah, there probably is that too, right? So thinking about this, like one thing that's helped me think about, okay, how am I going to draw boundaries with this and how am I going to help my kids? I like to build stuff. I love like power tools. Anybody here like power tools also? I love power tools, right? Chop saws are great. So they're lots of fun, right? But I tell you what, a four-year-old, I do not let the four-year-old touch my power tools, right? I'm usually the four-year-old, I'm like, you probably just need to like, go somewhere else. Don't be here. I'll do this. The seven-year-old, I'm like, why don't you come? You could watch what I'm doing. The 10-year-old, I'm like, okay, I'm going to cut this board. You can hold the loose end. I feel like that's probably pretty safe. And then the teenager, I'm like, okay, you can come here and watch. If I've given you some instruction of how to do this, you can come and I'll cut the, you can cut the board, right? But I'm not just going to be like, go cut some boards, right? My adult kid, he's on his own. Man, he wants to cut his fingers off. Like, get on your own insurance and go cut your own fingers off, right? Right? Okay, and so let's go back to driving, right? We all understand this when it comes to driving. We go, oh, okay, hopefully. We don't just say, you're 16, here's the keys, good luck, right? We don't say that when it comes to driving, and cars are a really powerful power tool that can cause a lot of damage and wreck your life as well, right? We understand it's a bad idea, and fortunately, I guess, we have rules and laws to help us with that as parents. Like, oh, parenting, I mean, this is like what I've learned, parenting teenagers driving is really stressful. At least it is for me. Anyone else get really stressed by teaching your kids to drive, right? I'm really thankful there are now all these rules, right? When my parents learned to drive, there weren't even seat belts in every car, right? When I learned to drive, it was like pass the test, and then there you go, right? Today, what is there? It depends on the state you're in. There's age limits, and there's passenger limits, and there's time of day rules. There's night driving. There's a certain number of hours, months with a permit, right? All of these things. But I am not morally opposed to any of those. I think those are really good. I go, well, thank you, government, for giving some rules to help me with my parenting so it's not just all on me to come up with these rules. They've given me these rules, right? So the question I would ask is, why do so many people not do that with smart technology? They just go, here you go, knock yourself out, right? Right? We don't hand a chop saw to a child, and we won't give keys to an unprepared teen, hopefully, right? So why in the world would we give the most powerful and dangerous tool that has ever existed in the history of the planet to our kids and give them no training or no rules or no boundaries, right? It's foolishness, right? That would be foolishness to do that, right? Now, some people will say, yes, I agree with you, Greg. My kid is not going to get a smartphone or smart technology, or they're not even going to use the internet until they're 18 or out of my house, right? That's one approach, right? And I could totally, if you feel that way, I totally understand. Because I feel that way sometimes too, right? Things get so hard, and I'm just like, I'm taking all the devices and throwing them in the trash. You can figure this out on your own when you're an adult, right? Get your own insurance. But we can't square that approach, the no technology approach, with train up a child, right? We're kind of shirking on that responsibility, that command that's given to us in Proverbs, right? We have this responsibility, and I would suggest we're probably at least flirting with exasperating our kids when we do that, right? Again, like I said, it's indispensable to life. Our kids are not gonna be able to live without this. They can't. They're going to have to. And so could I, in good conscience, stand before God and say, yeah, God, it was the right thing for me to prevent my kids from having the opportunity to learn how to use smart technology, and I'm sure it wasn't exasperating. No, I probably would like fail on all of those accounts before God. So, given this, we have to pick one of three choices with our kids. Hopefully that makes it really easy. The first one is we just throw them in the pool. We're like, here you go, and I hope you don't ruin anything, right? That's one approach, right? Technology with no direction. The other would be swing the other way and say, no technology, you figure it out when you're an adult, and maybe your brain will be more formed and you can deal with it then. Or the third option is show them how to swim by being in the pool, right? And that's, I think, obviously, where we want to go. We want to give our kids technology with boundaries and instruction. I think, biblically, that's what we should do. That's what God would have us do. He would have us do those things. So again, I go back to, if you're there, you're in a good place. You're in a good place. I want to encourage you. That's a good place to be. So, most of us, however, have this challenge, right? We have to instruct our kids without a manual, without a law, without history. We can't model it after our ancestors. And we have to figure out how to use this while we're figuring it out ourselves, right? I don't know how to use this thing. I don't really know if I know all the right boundaries to have with this thing. And yet, so somehow I have to do this myself. Can you see why I think this is the most difficult time in history to be a parent, right? It's like this. It's a matter of life or death for our kids. And so this is like your next blank on the sheet. We have to build a life raft after we've been tossed overboard without any model of having watched anyone build a life raft before us. And we have to at the same time be building our own life raft. We have to come up with our own boundaries and figure out technology for ourselves. Right? Can you imagine that picture? You're like thrown overboard. You're like, well, I got to build this raft. I have no idea how to do that. And I have to build it for this person too. Oh, several people, right? If you have several kids, how do I do this, right? And so that's why we're here. Because all the rest of us, look around, all the rest of us are doing that, or about to do that, or starting to do that. And we're all going to have to build these life rafts together. And so we've got to learn to rely on each other. Say, what are you doing? How is that going? Was it good? Was it bad? And being vulnerable with ourselves and saying, this is works, and this is hard, and this doesn't work. And so that's part of what we're here for today. So I thought just to start it off, I want to share with you maybe just some of the things I'm doing and have done with my teens. And then again, I want to hear from you all, like what you've experienced or what you've heard other people have done that seems to go well, right? And again, the reason for this is because I don't have the answers. I go, man, maybe some of you have some things that have been really effective that I could take into my family and be like, yeah, let's put that into practice, and that would be helpful for me. So for those of you who don't know me, I think I'd mentioned this. I've got 6 kids, 4 boys, 2 girls. Oldest one's 19, youngest one is 7 sitting here. Right, so I'm right in the thick of the teenage world. This is my wife, Christine. We've been married 22 years. I'm a pastor full-time. I'm an architect part-time. I office from my home. I've been doing that for more than 8 years, so long before lockdowns. And all that to say, in part because of all that, we have lots of technology, right? I don't have a technology-free zone in my house. Computers and iPads and smartphones and smart TVs and Siri and on and on, right? Again, sometimes I just want to throw it all away. And so we have to work really hard to make sure that technology is not the glue that's holding our family together, right? Like, we don't want that to be the case. So the final part of your sheet there is I'm going to give you 3 principles. And these are things that we go back to and we say, this is helping us as we're engaged in the fight with our, I shouldn't say it that way. It's not a fight with our teens. It's a fight for our teens. And that's the battle. The battle isn't really with them. It's with the principalities, the ruler of darkness. You know, that's who we're battling against here with this. So 3 principles that we do. The first one is this: create an example worth imitating. And that's hard because that means it starts with me. And so the verse there, 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ, right? Paul's a dude, right? He's a special dude, but he was a dude, and he was talking to some other people, and he was saying, do this, imitate me. Ooh. We should say that to our kids, imitate me, right? We need to be an example worth imitating. And so as parents, we've got to live that example with smart technology. The choice is 100% ours. Again, there's not much laws to restrain us as parents. This is the way, you know, there's not a speed limit sign, right? We have to make that choice. And so for us, like in our house, some of the things we do, we try to not constantly be checking email or social media. We try to model some appropriate silos for time. This is an important time for this, and this is not an important time for that. And dinner time is not an important time for checking your phone and that sort of thing, right? So we try to do that. We've even, in some ways of like saying, so that it's not just technology, 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 we sort of like try to give some things up, right? Like, I used to like play video games. I didn't really play video games. It's one way of being like, hey, I don't need to be dependent upon technology for all of the entertainment and that sort of thing, right? We try to use technology for good stuff. We try to use it for devotionals. We use it to communicate with each other and with our kids and with our church. We use it for work. We use technology and have family movie nights, so things that can draw us together as a family. We also try to model being humble and contrite about our technology and when we mess up with it and say things like, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I'm not using this the right way right now. Or please forgive me, I'm being focused on my phone instead of on you. Let's talk. Right? That's where we want to be. Right? So that's one principle, create an example worth imitating. Second principle is the idea of things, just trying to have safety in numbers. You know, we all kind of understand that and number of things, but we really, when we think about technology, we go, well, we can let things be as family engaged as possible. Explain what I mean by that. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. Probably, many of you probably had this in your wedding ceremonies, right? Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so we want to think about technology and say, the last thing I want to do is say, here, you take this and go off into your own world. No, use it in our world. Come into this place where we can shepherd this and be together in this thing. One example of this, we almost always watch shows as families, as a family, not as individuals. Like rarely is one person sitting in front of a screen for something. As a group, we say, no, we're going to watch a show. We're going to try to watch something that we can all do together and show that community effect with each other. So to do that, we have to, you know, say, okay, how are we going to pick a show, right? Just using shows is one form of technology, right? We pick shows that have a value to imitate, or a value to criticize, right? We're not adverse to seeing things where we go, that was not a good thing to do. Or even just say there's issues we can discuss in conversation. I chuckle, we recently, probably this year, we started watching The Gilmore Girls with our teenagers. Anyone watch The Gilmore Girls? It's like, what not to do with relationships. And it's led to all these productive conversations. And we've said, okay, I would not want to set that out, set my kid in front of the show and say, go watch this by yourself. But when they watch in the context, we can at the end say, those were dumb choices. Do you see how those were dumb choices? Do you see how that's not worth imitating? Right? So that's kind of how we try to approach that. And then we just try to do things as a family, right? And sometimes that means our younger kids kind of get pulled up into something that's maybe a little older than what they need. And sometimes the older kids get pulled down into something that's maybe a little younger than they need. And we go, hey, that's okay, right? Because that's just how life is. And that's a good learning thing. And of course, we also try to look for older shows that have good morals, things like Little House on the Prairie, you know, those kind of things as well. So we also try to use filters. There's a software program called VidAngel that's really good. You know, we recently watched the movie Kindergarten Cop. You've seen that, Arnold?
It's not a tumor.
Right? You can just filter a couple things through VidAngel, and you're like, I got rid of a bunch of bad language and a couple of like pointless scenes in that. And it was a really funny movie, and our kids got a bunch of things out of it, and we had a good time together, right? So we look for that as just a way of like, hey, we know you become an adult, and you're going to watch shows, and you're going to do those things. We want to model that and be with you in that. Another thing with safety in numbers, we really aim for our kids to be using their stuff, they're using devices in a group setting, in a public setting, in a room, in the main floor of the house, not in their bedroom, not alone, not late at night. And that's a safety in numbers thing. And of course, portable media makes that challenging. But that's a rule we have in our house, is that someone should always be able to walk in and see what you're doing, right, for that accountability. So third principle we use, we try to live by, is we try to chart a course of increasing technological engagement. The Bible has an answer for this too, 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Isaiah 32:8 says, he who is noble plans noble things, and on noble things he stands. Right? It's intuitive, right? We understand, like, you have an infant, or like a little kid, right? I don't know if there's no one has an infant here. You have an infant and they use zero technology, right? And then you have you as an adult and you use a lot of technology, probably, and you go, well, somehow there has to be some sort of line or curve between these things, right? It's not L-shaped. It's somehow you go from one to the other, and so you go, somehow we have to increasingly engage technologically, right? There needs to be gradual steps along the way. And so as parents, we have this responsibility to strive to order those steps, right? In a rational way. How do we get these in the right way, right? Or we could just be like, unintentional. Nah, here's your phone, right? But they're going to go from here, no technology, to lots of technology, one way or another. And we go, well, God said train them up. And so we've got to help chart that course of how we're going to do that, right? And so we think about this increasing technological engagement back to like the power tools analogy, right? So it's like my little kid is like, I need to do a craft and cut this popsicle stick in half. I'm not going to get out the chop saw to cut the popsicle stick, right? That's overkill. It doesn't make any sense. I'll get something smaller, and then they'll work their way up to that place where, okay, that makes sense. Do the same thing with technology. Oh, you need this? Well, let's not get out the most powerful computer with no, you know, filters or whatever on it and let you know. Well, it's like, how do we start with something that's simple and work our way up gradually, right? How do we chart that? Right? And so part of that in our family, and that's one of your handouts there, your second handout, is that cell phone contract. Now, I did not, you know, tear this out of the back of the Bible. Right? This is not scripture. So this is just something I have used and I've given it to other people and they've said, wow, this seems really useful and really helpful to me. And so I said, I just want to offer that to you in all humility and you can look at it and love it or hate it. That's fine. If you do like it or you say, there's some things here I'd like to use, I've got like my card here, be happy to shoot me an email and I'll send you the native file and Word and you can change it as much as you want so you don't have to retype it, reuse it or whatever, right? And again, so I'm offering this to you because this is a big milestone in our family, right? This is like one thing we do. It's a big milestone. But this is just an example. Again, this is not a rule. This isn't from scripture. Your family surely has a different flavor than ours. Your circumstances are surely different than ours. All that is fine. The theme here is that we're striving to be intentional to help our teens engage with this and go from that place of no technology to lots of technology, right? How do we do that? So just a couple highlights of the contract if you want to look at it, right? First thing, we tell our teen what the purpose of this is right up front. And the purpose of it is to help them grow and learn, just the same as all the driving rules, right? That's the purpose. It's not to like cramp your style. It's to help you grow and learn. You might say, why is it a contract? Well, it's a contract because life is full of contracts, right? And we all, this is like, hey, this is like sort of serves a double purpose. You get to read and understand and live by a contract, just like we all have to sign and deal with throughout adult life, right? The most important parts of this contract for us are at the beginning. It's about attitude. Is my teen yielded to me? And am I being clear to my teen that my heart is for his or her good, right? And then another important part there is integrity. To us, in our house, the way we see this, honesty is always more important than technology. Always, always, always. Technology is just simply an opportunity for a young person to express honesty, right? That's how we look at these things, right? We also want there to be accountability because, like I said, technology has very little built-in accountability. So it's our responsibility as parents to create some accountability for our kids so that we can train them in the way that they should go. So for us, we use filtering things and observation things. We control what they can download or we give them permission. We have hours because we agree with the Rick Whitney principle, nothing good happens after 9 o'clock. We say no social media for our kids because we don't think anything good rolls into their life from that, right? Another thing on this contract is we make our kids have skin in the game, right? Same, we would think about this with a car. If I just give my kid a car, are they going to respect it the same if they didn't pay something or all of it, right? And so we see that for our kids. We try to do that with the technology, make them have some kind of financial stake in what they're using there. But we don't want to just give it up, right? We don't want to just say, well, you just pay for all the fun stuff, because if I have them pay for all the fun stuff, I've surrendered all of my ability to step in there, right, and do that. So all of that, we don't have to talk more about that contract. I just want to put that in your hands. Hopefully that's helpful. So that's kind of what I wanted to share today. And then just kind of toss it out and be like, maybe you have questions for me. Again, I there's probably, what, 30 or 40 people in this room. You have probably 30 or 40 different stories of where you're at. I'd love to hear some things you feel like have worked well in your life, maybe some things that don't. I would say, like, you're welcome to criticize this, and I'd be like, yeah, that's probably, you could criticize anything I've said here. I'm trying to build a life raft in the water, too, just like you are. And maybe you can help me if that's a good way to do it. But anyway, let me just throw it out to you all. Like, what do you have questions? Do you have comments? Do you have experiences you'd like to share? Just like, how would the Lord lead you to talk about this?
Anyone
want to
share down?
Yeah, let me re-say it for the recording too. She was just asking, how did it go? How has it gone in terms of post lockdowns, COVID? Like, that probably changed the game for you with technology. What have you done that's helped you recover or not recover from that? Anybody? Yeah.
I think for us, it counts out of bad.
Yeah.
We two different charter schools. There's a charter school that they were going to church. And after school programs, we were like, okay, they need to have mobile phones so that way they can get a hold of mom and dad. Lockdown happens. We eventually, the next fall, actually pulled them out and we have home school. By that time, they both happened. They got used to texting friends and everything. So at this point, I think it's more of a just kind of controlling the level of the hours, the amount of it, and everything. We've got a product that's called Pinwheel that we can basically lock down. Scheduling-wise, contacts along the network, so we can go through and read all the history and contacts, so we can still have computer control over it. But I think the cap is out of the bag, and to your point, we're supposed to be training them. So to take it back, I think we would not help the situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would really agree about just time limits. Like, being exposed to, like, having it so much, and then realizing, like, if each person is on their own device, and so it's just like, I'm done, I'm, like, responsible for your soul, and this isn't feeding into our family, so, like, just narrowing down time limits, like, pretty small, like, 15 minutes, and then they have to ask, and then we have to talk about, like, well, why, do you need it, like, is it necessary, or, so,
I'm responsible for your soul, what a great line, yeah.
Texting even with friends and getting group chats, that's all of a sudden it becomes social media, even though I didn't let you to be on social media.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
It can do that. So I think engaging and talking to your kids about what are you using? Like, I didn't know my kids were using, like, Google Chat. like, and then like checking all their chats and how many people can get on the chat, and like people are being like really silly / slightly like offensive to other people, and I'm like, no, these are all good Christian kids, but it comes social media. So just talking to them, asking them what they're using, and praying for their honesty, and then also checking their phones, and letting them know there is accountability to that.
Yeah.
Like, you will be looking and you will be checking.
Yeah, there's kind of this, for us, we found there's this balance with that of, I just like want to like lock everything down and know everything you do and everything. It's like, well, number one, then that's a huge burden on me, but at some point you're going to be an adult, and it's, you know, if I have a filter or whatever on this, whose responsibility is that? Mine. And so your kid, it's going to be theirs when they're an adult. And so that balance of how do I give them accountability and understand and like give them sort of that freedom to be honest. Right, I think that's what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
And then just pray a lot. Yes. Because, like, my son was given an iPod. I didn't know anything about iPods. I'm a new Apple person, sorry. And so I was like, he just wants it for music. And I thought it was just for music. I think he had it for over a year, never looked into it. And I've just been praying over, like, lessening the amount of time that he had on it. And it's like, do I go take it and, like, fight that battle? Okay, I could. But I was like, Lord, I just pray that. I pray that he'd come to me and he, like, if there's something that's not good in his life with technology, that he would come to me. And I was praying, I mean, pretty diligently, only for a couple days. Like, God answered me really quickly. And he came to my husband and me, and he's like, I have to give this to you because I have to confess that I can just watch I can just watch things on my phone, and it is not good for my soul. And I was like, oh. So I'm grateful for that, and then I'm like heartbroken that I let that go on for that long.
Yes.
Question about if anyone has what you were just talking about, like making that transition from. So we have filters on our internet at home, obviously for no adult content. We have limits on time they can be on YouTube, for example, and things like that. And then we have, they both share a phone, they're 13 and 16. And we have, this is an iPhone, we have screen time limits on it. And so I think one of my friends was telling me, oh yeah, you know, my son just turned 18 and he asked me to take all the filters off, and I took all the filters off. And I'm like, whoa, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, that's scary. It's scary, you know, like right now to think about, like, how do you change that curve? You know what I mean? Like, when do you start, like, lessening it and just taking their responsibility, and then, like you said, just teaching them as they become an adult, if they're leaving my home at 18, with their phone, I'm not going to have, let me check your phone, see what you're texting, right? I mean, so I guess I'm just seeing if anyone else has that, they've gotten older, left your home. You know, I feel like in my home, the responsible thing is to have some of those filters on. Because, I mean, you could be on YouTube, and they're not looking up anything bad, and all the little the things are still popping up, unless you have the filter on, that are adult content, right?
Yeah.
So.
Has anybody like walked that out with a kid that's moved into adulthood?
No, but I do know personally someone who every day is a challenge in their life because they're media addicted and nonstop.
Yep.
That's a problem. Basically cracked on the cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our generation, 25 and older, read real books, had real paper, had things we, you know, listened to stuff on a record or on a CD or whatever, didn't have to share a picture. We had a lot more, like, opportunity. It doesn't say we did, but we had a lot more opportunity to know and see and experience what was good in a limited amount of time, as opposed to just here's all it is.
Yeah.
And so what the internet and the phone and the things have done is it's provided them with a whole lot of stuff. A lot of it isn't that good. So YouTube, you know, 85-90% of that is trash. And
So to actually find the gold nuggets in there, it's really hard, especially if you've never experienced what the good stuff is.
Right.
So we've just found that to be a huge challenge. That's the life raft we're trying to land and get through.
Yeah.
And then the other aspect is that our in our area, the public school has circumvented the ability for parents to be parents. So if your public school hands you a kid a Chromebook with no filters and this says, here you go, this is what you have to do, all of your homework on, all of your schoolwork on, all of your YouTube stuff, we don't really teach anymore, I just watch YouTube videos. That's the junior high school experience that we and it's like landmines.
So I don't have teenagers right now. I'm in law enforcement, and I'm going to say that the Chromebooks that the schools hand out end up as police evidence quite often. The lack of filters, the availability to do anything and everything on those is ridiculous. And it's controlled by the school, not by the parents. There are ways around that, but you have to be extremely involved, and you have to be talking to the teachers and working with them directly on how that works. Otherwise, you're bringing a conduit of pure evil into your house.
Yeah. I think for us, like, we have a 19-year-old at college. He's here, but he goes to college. I think there's that, one of those challenges is like, what is really magic about 18? I know that's kind of like a legal thing, but that's not really biblical, right? Like, there's not really a Bible verse that says, when you're 18, that's the thing. So I don't think we necessarily have to, you know, wed ourselves to that idea. 18 is, you go, well, you know, buddy or daughter, this is dependent on you. Like, the point where we turn those things off and hand it over to you and let you make those, that's going to be a, where are you at? And where's our relationship at? And where's your world at? And, you know, what's our thing, right? It's going to be, and to be like, and you know what? It might be this for you and it might be this for your sibling. It looks different. And I think we all just need to be okay of like, I'm building you a life raft and I'm building you a life raft. And those might be totally different life rafts, but at some point, if they keep you floating and alive and following Christ, that's what I'd rather have two different life rafts than try to just build the same one multiple times and have it sink three times, right? I don't know if that's helpful or not, but yeah. And I go, well...
I just have two, Craig. There's a spiritual component, and there's...
Yeah.
You know, and I'm in technology a lot because I work an office job, and I consider myself relatively savvy, but my kids are also smarter than we are, and you absolutely should have filters and limits and do all that stuff to protect your children, but it's not foolproof.
It's not.
They're smart. Yeah. They're also out of your house. They're with other people. They can find stuff by accident or on purpose. We found both. And so there's the part of it that's like, hey, we really... spent a lot of time praying and talking about heart issues, about the sin. And so we really have gotten that we want our kids to not desire it. And yes, we still want the filters. We're having the same conversations you guys are, working through that. What's it mean at 18 versus 15 versus 11, which is very different. But bringing that component in, praying for the kids, praying they'll be caught. And that's happened for us too, right? They've been caught totally on accident. It's like, thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer. And then going into the heart issue, like, it's a huge deal, but if we don't get to the heart, and you don't get to where they don't desire the sin, yeah. You lose. And so for that,
and
we're
I would
really
say,
focused on that.
I would say even, like, having that conversation with our kids has been really helpful of, hey, son, hey, daughter, this is about your heart.
Right.
I'm doing this for your heart. Technology is methodology, right? This is just the thing that happens to be here. What we're talking about is integrity. What we're talking about is your heart and desiring sin or not desiring sin, or how are you relating to other people? Like, it's, you know, stop using the phone at the table when you're with other people. It's not really about the phone. It's about your relationship with other people. And so as kids grow up, they have that ability to engage at that heart level. And I think taking it, like, yeah, I'm with you 100%. You have those filters there the same way as you're like, I wear a seatbelt, right? Well, wear a seatbelt because sometimes these things can come rolling in, right? But you go, all right, it's not all about the seatbelt. It's about, are you going to make good judgment decisions behind the wheel of that car? And so I've got to get to your heart to be in that, help you be in that place. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. And that's absolutely true. There's like a whole like chemical thing going on. Like we haven't even scratched the surface of that here. And at some point, it's almost like, I'm not sure I even need to know. Like you could go do a lot of research and a deep dive and be like, well, okay. But just being aware of like, I understand that this, like part of how this can destroy your life is the addictive properties that are in it and that the software developers have created to try to draw your mind. We all have to do that ourselves. I like that as well. You're like, well, yeah, maybe I need to turn off those, and maybe I need screen time, right? Maybe that's what I need. Yeah.
Two things. One is something that, you know, starting from myself, I think, you know, I would love for our family to have a screen-free Sabbath. You know, 24 hours, 7 p.m. Saturday night to 7 p.m. Sunday night. You know, you don't have to be with God, but you can't be on your screen. But then the other thing I wanted to say is relating to the mind-bending nature of this, I think in a lot of ways teens today are more innocent than we were. I mean, like, we watched E.T., and the kids were appalled by how we interacted when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, there's teens all over these buildings who are just grabbing mattresses and sleeping together. That
yeah.
is not what our parents would have
yeah.
wanted us to do back in the day.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a different culture. I like that Sabbath idea to go back to that. Like, it's a great tool. Yeah.
I don't have any kids, but as the kid who was growing up and who has grown up, I'd say one of the most important things is to have a good relationship with your child with it, and to help your child understand that it's you and them versus the technology and the thing on the other side of the internet. Because speaking from experience, the heart is deceitful above all else. Even with that, there is still times where, you know, your mind just goes to that place, or you're just like, oh, hey, what's that? Oh, that's not a good thing. To where they're not like, oh, my parents wouldn't want me to see that. But they're not around, and I found a way to get to that.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to find that loophole and go through that now. So making sure that they are also working with that in the same way that you are. Because it's just one of the most important things you can do.
Yep. Yeah, every boundary you can create, I almost guarantee somebody had said this too. Your teenager can probably defeat that boundary, right? Especially when it comes to technology things. And you go, well, isn't that true of my own life? Like, oh, I'll put on Covenant Eyes or whatever, and I'll just defeat it if I really wanted to do that, right? And so it can't be. If we make it that way, we're setting up a false reality that's not going to be true when they're adults. Because that's not, like, we tell our kids, it's one thing we're strong with our kids as they're growing up, is we say, in the end, it's going to be you and that device, and that boundary has to be between you and the Lord, right? It's not, that thing is not going to save you. It's going to be your relationship with God, and I think that's what you're getting at, yeah.
Another thing, filters are very good. They're a very good thing. However, speaking from experience,
I don't really think that there's a filter I've seen yet that I haven't been able to find similar crowds to. So make sure that it is you and your kid versus the internet, not you versus your kid.
Yes.
And make sure that they know that.
Yep.
Because when it comes down to it, it's your kid versus the internet eventually.
Yep. Yep. That's great. Thank you. All right. I think we're almost at the end. Maybe take another one more. Anyone else have something to say when I comment? Yeah.
I think the bottom line, it comes down to a lot of kind of what's underlying and written into your contract that you've got here. There's a whole lot of character built into that. And if we're not teaching our kids that, you're going to lose no matter what. You're not teaching them to have proper character, not teaching them how to make those decisions when no one's looking. Without that, it's...
Yeah.
You can try all sorts of things.
And this technology is a tool to teach character. Like, maybe we need to think of it that way instead of a, like, a thing to defend against, which it is, but it's also that. It's that tool to teach that. Yeah. All right. We're at the end. I'll pray. Yeah. Thanks, Lord. God, we just ask you to meet us in this battle, Lord, as we build these life rafts for ourselves and for our kids. God, I mean, it seems like the world will probably change again and it'll be a whole new thing for our kids when they're raising kids. But God, we want to even be at that place where as grandparents, we can go to our kids and give them something, offer and say, this is how we try to build that raft, Lord, because there's no model for us. We want to be able to do that too. But I pray that each person who's in this room would be encouraged just to be engaged, and be at peace, not feeling like, oh, am I doing enough or not enough, or that we would just rest in the power of your Spirit. God, we pray for our kids that they would learn character, they would choose it, that they would choose to follow you and would carry that out, put it in practice as they relate to technology. Lord, thank you that we could be here this weekend. We ask your blessing on the rest of the time tonight, the next couple days. In Jesus' name, amen.